Are you seeking more creativity in your life? Join us, Nadia and me, Laura, the hosts of the Creative Rumble podcast.
Each week, we delve into the minds of inspirational creatives, share their wisdom and our own creative journeys. We explore how to align yourself, develop creative ideas, and find inspiration.
Join us as we explore what it takes to live a creative life so you too can feel the creative rumble.
Living a creative life is for everyone. Let's Creative Rumble.
The Creative Rumble podcast acknowledges the traditional custodians of this country and recognise Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples' continuing connection to land, sea, waterways, sky and culture. We pay respects to elders, past, present and emerging. Welcome back everyone to the Creative Rumble podcast. I'm your co-host Laura Purcell beside the fabulous Nadia Aleph Robinson. And today we have the wonderful opportunity to sit down with Kerry Aegis, a remarkable artist based in Tasmania. Kerry's journal as an artist spans decades, from her first exhibition at just 18 years old in Adelaide to running her successful studio and gallery today in St. Helens, where we are currently. Nadia and I want to dive deeper into Kerry's creative rumblings, where it all began, how she chose this incredible trajectory, and what it's been like to live and grow as a woman artist over the years. From her early influences to the challenges and triumphs of balancing life as an artist, mum, and grandmother, today's conversation is all about exploring the powerful journey behind the work. So, Kerry, we're excited to hear about what sparked your creative journey and how it's evolved along the way. So let's get into it. Welcome to the Creative Rumble and thank you for having us inside your studio gallery here in St. Helens.
Thanks for coming. I'm looking forward to talking to you.
Thank you.
Hi. Welcome to my happy place.
It is just stunning, so colourful and just beautiful, beautiful art.
It's really, really beautiful. I was here maybe a couple or two, 3 years ago.
Okay.
And I bought a pair of sunglasses.
Oh.
We were doing a shoot for my last job I was on and they were filming and I thought, oh, I just need a break. So yep. I came in here and I bought some sunglasses, but I was thoroughly inspired by this space and it really sparked a dream to go, oh my gosh, maybe I could just move to St. Helens. Maybe I could be an artist in St. Helens. Maybe I could, or even just start my own studio. And it was also quite influential in me coming back to my practice a bit more. And
Nice.
Thank you.
If I gave you any inspiration, then I'm really happy for
you
that. Really, that's fantastic.
You really have. Mm. And it was funny because when Nadia found you, I was like, oh, that's Kerry. Yes.
Yeah,
I know this artist. So, yeah, it's just really wonderful. Yes, that's right, because some of the artworks of yours have been on my mantelpiece since then.
Oh, that's nice.
So thank you.
Right. That's one of the nicest bits of what I do is being able to inspire the people. Yeah. And as I just said, we get a lot of young people in here, right from children, teenagers, and to talk to them about my story and what could be their story.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is lovely to do that.
Oh, it's so marvellous. Mm. And so, you know, running your own gallery, let's go back.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned before one of the most poignant times in your life was when, you know, you sold a work at 18.
Yes.
So it was a solo show.
It wasn't even an exhibition. I'd approached a gallery in North Adelaide because I grew up in Adelaide and they said, yes, they'd take my work. And they were black and white pen and ink. And I used to sit in the parklands in Adelaide and there were all these gorgeous mansions right across the road from the parklands. And I used to sketch them all.
Oh,
and I'd
go up
there on weekends and do that. Mm. And that's what I put in there and that was what I sold, the first that I sold. And it was just like, wow, like to think I could do that.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Did you do a lot of art at high school and growing up or was it something that it just evolved?
I always painted since I was a child and my mother had a great joke because I'd say, what can I draw now? And she'd say, draw a check and we'll go shopping.
A great joke.
People won't relate to that now because they won't know what a check is. But mum used to say that when I was really young and I was always painting, always drawing, not very sporty.
But also saying that too is also saying that you create your own future with that. You can make money with that. Like,
well, a check is like, yeah. I don't know that she meant that at the time, but they did. They booked me into a children's art class on a Saturday morning where other kids were going to basketball. I was not.
Yeah.
And I loved it. Used to go to an art class Saturday morning, but I didn't go to art school though when I got older.
Yes. But you had support behind you. You had parents who...
Yep. Mum always loved and encouraged what I was doing. I'm sure Dad was trying to encourage me, but every time I showed him something and I'd be so proud and he'd be like, I think that could have been a little bit different.
Critique.
I think he was trying in his way, I think, to help, but like it was a hammer on the head every time he said it. But Mum was definitely encouraging.
Lovely. And I love the fact that you haven't gone to art school.
No.
So you've developed your own style, but you also started at a studio gallery even back earlier.
I did, in 1994. And you're not going to believe it. Well, you might believe it. This shop was my first studio gallery in 1994 when we moved to Tassie a long time ago.
Really?
Because we lived here and then we lived in Queensland for 17 years and then we moved back 8 years ago, but this was my original shop.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. And you got it, like, you got it back.
I waited 12 months for a shop to come up either side of the cafe because that's the hub of the town. Waifoi Cafe is the hub of the town. The shop on the other side came up, so I took it and I was in there for 6 months. And then this one, the man that had a shop in here was retiring and I said, right, I'll lease my shop back.
Oh. Yeah,
so that's what happened.
That's lovely as well.
I love that. Mm. Yeah, I think I remember you telling me that story when I came in. Yes. Yeah. So good. So has your style changed from the early days or evolved? How has that evolved from where you began, your black and white?
The black and white was really early. Drawing's always been really important to me. And even now, drawing is the foundation for all my paintings. Mm. I will usually do a very detailed sketch or have an idea in my head that's very detailed of what I'm going to do. So they all start with a sketch and then perhaps an underpainting. And then I'll go into so many layers on there.
There's colour. The colour palette is incredible.
It's always been bright and vibrant paintings that I love to do. Mm. Always has been. And if you asked me how I would describe my work, I would say stylized and decorative art. So very decorative. And I love when people walk in the shop and I will get a response of, the colour, it's so happy.
It's so happy.
You know, bright and happy and joyful. And I hear that all day long, so how can I not be inspired to keep doing more and more?
It really is happy and inspired. Like, and also you are really drawing from the colours of the environment as well. Is that something that you normally, you're very much an environment person, you go out walking?
Live in the bush.
You live in the bush.
Yeah, we live on acreage and I just love, who doesn't love acreage and space and paddocks and the bush that we've got. I love it.
Yeah.
Birds, I love painting birds.
Yes, you have a lot of birds and I really love birds as well. And I love the light in Tasmania. I'm a Queenslander. I grew up in Brisbane.
But
there's just something special about the light here and just all the animals and just the pops of colour. It's just amazing.
It's amazing. And this is coming as a, you know, an artist who's always, I've always wanted to be like an artist and I started out in the theatre and then, you know, more towards sculpture and I'd love to do more two-dimensional work and painting, etc. But anyway, I love my drawing as well. And that's why I'm so inspired by how the amount of work you're producing and how, like, where does that drive come from? Like, what is that you're, like, the amount of work you have here and you've also got a business and you're making it to sell and a lot of this is, these are not prints. These are all originals. So.
No, the back wall are all originals. So the back wall and around the corner. So you're looking at probably maybe 15 originals in the shop.
Yes.
The rest are prints from my original work. So these are prints on art paper and framed behind glass. And then these are prints on canvas So people walk in and they're overwhelmed by how much work is in here. But when you consider that there are prints and originals, okay. So these are prints on canvas.
So yeah. This is a really great method and way to yes. be able to
sell your work and yes. to make an income from your work. And I'll tell a lot of artists, like when yeah. I did this many years ago in 1994, there wasn't the option to put your work in print unless you wanted to print 200 at a time, yes, or one piece, or 500.
Yeah.
Now there are companies online where I can go, this is going to make a great print. So I will get a photographer to take a professional photograph of it. Once I've got a JPEG, then I can go onto these companies and I can print one at a time if I want, two at a time.
Yeah.
So and then you have your limited editions as opposed
You can do that. I don't do limited editions.
Okay.
I just print and sell from here, and that's what I do. But some of the companies do direct shipping. So I can have tourists standing in here saying, we'd love that, but we live in Queensland. Yeah. And I go, I can send that canvas to Queensland. I can freight it for $30 because the company is on the mainland and they will freight direct to the client.
Oh, so that is so clever.
Huge selling point for artists. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. And I think this is an excellent example of a successful business and how you can, you know, showcase your work and keep things moving through the shop in and out, and it's affordable from a smaller point to a large point as well.
Yep,
so you can have, you know, a Kerry Aegis on your wall, like
you
big canvas.
Have a $5 fridge magnet.
Yeah.
That's so cool though, that you can you can scale like that.
And I would suggest that any artist that is going to try and set up their own business, their own gallery, their own shop, whatever the most important thing is price points.
Yes.
And you want to have them starting at $5 and then going to 10 and then going to 20 and going to 50 and go, because there's a lot of people that will only be able to afford this and someone else that can afford an original on the back wall.
Yeah.
So you cover all the price points and that will help your business grow.
And then you can, and then you do, you are able to have an artist's work on your wall and, it's just, and it's important to have art in your home.
Of course
around
it is.
You.
Yeah. It creates a home. Yeah. I mean, I can't even imagine my home without things on the wall. And whenever I've moved house, paintings will be up on the first night. There will be some nails will be going, not all of them, nails will be going in the walls on the first night, because that brings your house alive.
That's and so I have a question sort of like just around time and life management. And I've got three young kids and you know, the logistics to, you know, the babysitters, you know, the coordination to try and get away and to do something like this, which is our sort of creative outlet as well. How do you find time, or how did you find time juggling creative time and children and the balance and making sure you're still filling your emotional creative cup but still being, you know, playing the roles that we do?
Well, going back to when my children were young, like probably yours now, I was really fortunate in as much I did not have to work full time when the children were very little.
Yeah.
And I always had a space. I always had a spare bedroom that had a desk and an easel and painting set up. So even when my children were babies, sometimes it might not be till when they went to bed at night, and it wasn't every day.
Yeah.
But at that stage in my life, there was always a painting or a drawing or something on the easel, and whenever I got an hour, I would be in there doing it. People come in and they say to me in here, like, you know, I just haven't got the time. Mm. Well, if it's really what you want to do, if it's your passion and it drives you, you find the time, you make the time.
Yeah.
And I say to a lot of people that come in, make it every Monday afternoon at 2:00. That's when you go in your room and that's when you paint.
You have some discipline about it. Self-discipline.
Allocate the time and do it.
Mm.
But there were other times in my life when I worked jobs and we had restaurants and things in Queensland, but I still had a painting on the easel.
Yeah.
I still
And you speaking about space too, sometimes I feel like, oh, I need my own room.
Well, it's the whole Virginia Woolf room of our own, you know.
Yeah.
And that is really important. And I think even if it's a space on a table, or, and I know a lot of women artists have started at the kitchen table as well.
Of course they do.
But it is that space that you can return to, that nothing's moved, because it's that packing up and packing down that really just, I think, kills that, doesn't it? Yeah.
At one stage, my husband and I, when we were living in Queensland, we were in an apartment, and I was working on a 2 metre by 1 metre painting, and I just took over. When we lived there, I took over half of the dining room table and said, "This is my studio while we live here." And he was fine, and yeah. I just kept it neat and tidy. Yeah. I'm a very neat and tidy painter.
Oh, that's
just like my work is neat and tidy.
Yes. And your shop is immaculate.
I don't make a big mess anywhere, so it is easy for me. I'm not throwing things everywhere. So
yeah, I've got fabric everywhere. Yeah.
You need a room for that.
Yeah. I have a big room. I'm lucky to have a big room. Yeah. But yes, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, the juggling of family life, and then, like, was there a time where you felt a bit lost, or have you always just, it's just been steady on, steady go?
Steady. Or it just kept growing and growing, and it's just in me. It's just part of me. Like, there's not a day that there's not ideas popping in my head, or I could be washing the dishes, or I could be waking up in the middle of the night and there is a painting in my head and I have to paint it.
What's that mindset, or what's that feeling you're getting when to keep that going? I just,
the reason why we call it a creative rumble is because, like, for some people it's just like an internal slow movement that we're hoping the podcast encourages people to pursue it. Some people, it sounds like you've got it's sounding amazing.
It's amazing. And I'll tell you one thing for them, if there's people out there and they think, "I want to be an artist, that's what I want to do." Paint, paint, and paint more. Mm. Just paint more. Every day you paint, you learn something. You make a mistake, you know you won't make that mistake again.
Yeah.
Just keep painting and keep doing it. And then for a person that does paintings like I do, some wonderful person comes along and says to you, "I want to spend my hard-earned money on buying that piece to hang on my wall." And your heart just melts.
Oh, that's lovely.
Your heart just melts forever. And why do you not want to have that feeling over and over and over again? And
so because when they're valuing that inside of you.
What drives me?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what drives you.
Yeah.
And it's not the money.
No, it's that feeling.
It's that fear. I mean, of course it's the money. Of course I love making an income from what I do. But it's that feeling of, my God, that person, whatever job they do, have earned that money and they want to buy my piece of art that has come from me, from my mind, not from anyone else.
Yeah.
And it's like, no one else can do what I do. And it's the same with every other artist out there. No one can do what you can do. Treasure what you do and what you can create, because there's no one like you. Can I tell you another little story?
Yeah, tell me everything.
I want to show you something while I tell you the story. Is that all right that I get up and move?
Yes. Yes.
This is a print on canvas of a painting that I did when I was living in Queensland. I'll pop it there so you can see it. And I was working on a series of Jack in the Boxes because I thought I might do a children's book. And when I did this painting, something really, really unique and unusual happened, and it's never happened to me before or after. I was painting first this little raccoon's face down here.
Yeah.
And you know how people say painting can be quite meditative?
Yeah.
And I was doing this face, and for a period of, I don't know, 20 seconds or whatever, it felt like I was pulling the paint off the canvas and the face was appearing to me.
Oh, like almost like the reverse.
And it happened again with the monkey face. Twice on this painting, and it's never happened to me before. So, you know when people say, "I was in the zone."
Yeah.
Well, whatever that bloody zone is.
You were melting space and time.
And it was like this was appearing before me and I was pulling paint off the page, and it was just seconds.
That's like the magic in the practice.
It was magic.
Yeah.
And I would love that to happen again, and maybe it will.
Yeah.
But it was the most amazing, and no drugs or alcohol. We're involved in this
pure creative
situation.
Yes. Oh, that's gorgeous. Thank you for sharing that.
That's alchemy, isn't it?
Yeah, it was amazing. It really was.
Thank you. I'd love to actually know who your influences are.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's many, but I just put down a few. Gustav Klimt, I love his work.
Yes.
Salvador Dali, because he's just like everything. Everything is amazing, but it's not real, but it looks like it could be. Yeah. I mean, I love surreal and I love quirky pieces. Yeah. I mean, when you look at my fish up there with the...
your like cod, he's
like
beautiful.
A snorkel, and he's got a flower in his mouth, and he's been put into a lily pond where he should be in the ocean. You can do things You can do whatever you want. You can put a human head on a fish like I've done up there. Yes. But now I'm painting a leopard's head on a fish. I can do whatever I want, you know. Yeah. I wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah. So freedom as well. Yeah. Like, you know, freedom. That's it's creativity.
So yeah. I love surreal paintings. Yes. Henri Rousseau. Oh. Did a lot of jungle paintings. Years ago, I used to do a lot of tropical fish yes. and jungle paintings. That was my thing for yes. many years.
Is yes. that the Queensland influence?
No, that was no. when we lived here in Tassie.
Oh, really? I love it.
When I wow. first started with the first studio, it was a lot of jungle and tropical fish. Tropical maybe, the fish because we lived near the yeah. ocean. Just nature again. And it wasn't, and I was using gouache. Yes. So gouache was my medium for about 16 years. I loved gouache, which is, do you know much about gouache?
I don't. It's, Laura might know.
Well, it's, okay, I'll tell you about it.
It's like an acrylic, isn't it? But it's better, but it's got a deeper pigment
well,
to
yeah,
it? Or?
Sort of, very yeah. opaque. So yeah. it's like watercolour or acrylic. It's not like oil or anything. It's more like watercolour, but it's very opaque. So you get these solid, strong blocks yeah, of colour. Yeah. And I can remember a guy, I was doing watercolour, and a guy at the art shop said, sounds like you might want something a little bit more vibrant. Try the gouache. I think I bought 6 tubes and I just thought, oh, my God, this is amazing.
You found your medium.
I loved yeah, it. Yeah. And it was my medium all the time we were here in Tassie. When we went to Queensland, a lot of the houses up there had big glass windows and did not want the reflection on their paintings, on the glass. They wanted acrylic. So at that time when we moved to Queensland, I thought, I need to paint acrylic paints. And I found a chap, Kevin Taylor,
yeah.
doing classes. So I went and had a few to learn how to use the medium, which was really... And
so
I,
acrylic's quite different to gouache.
It
is the way
oh,
you
so
feel
different. Just a totally different medium. And I'd recommend that anyone that wants to try a different medium, go and have a few lessons with someone that does that medium.
Mm.
You don't have to love what that person paints, but you have to be able to look at their work. And well, for me, I looked at his work and knew this guy knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, yeah, the that's techniques right. yeah. and the
he
way
really
to
knew.
Use
so
them.
I had yes. lessons with Kevin, but there is another pivotal moment in my life. Do you want yes. me to tell you?
Please. Okay.
Well, if you'd, yes, please share.
Many years ago when the children, oh, I hadn't had the children. It was before
yes.
the children.
Yes.
We were living in Launceston and I decided that I was going to finally go to art school. I was about 25. Made the appointment, went along to the appointment with my portfolio. And the teacher was showing me all of these classrooms and we went through one of the rooms and he said, all the work in here is from the third and fourth year students. And I just took one look and I knew this isn't me. This is not the direction. It may be the direction of lots of other people, but it wasn't where I wanted to be in 3 or 4 years' time. I left there so disappointed. I'd gone in so excited. Yeah, I came out so disappointed, driving back to my house, went past this tiny little gallery, tiny. Arne Brewster was his name, went in and got talking to the elderly man that was in there and he did maritime paintings of these old sailing ships with the sails blowing in the wind, fantastic.
Billowing,
yeah. He knew his stuff and we got talking and he finally said, have you still got your portfolio? And I said, yeah, it's in the car and I brought it in. He said, I take 6 students a year, would you like to come?
Oh that's
pivotal.
Gorgeous.
Pivotal
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Moment.
Synchronicity.
Yeah.
I went from
one door
up,
closes,
down, up.
Another one opens.
Yeah. It was amazing.
I loved that.
And
yeah.
I went there one night a week until I couldn't reach the desk because I was pregnant.
Yeah.
So I stopped. But he taught me the basics, you know, like perspective and shadows and where the light will hit, what we'll do with the light, you know, just some of the things that every day I use still.
Yeah.
And he taught those things to me.
That's amazing. Yeah. I also see the Klimt influence and I feel like there's the perspective and there's also the surrealist of the Dali.
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely just the placement of things. There's lots of depth in some and others are quite flat. But then there's shadow. So you're really having to work hard to, just it's like that one in the back with the nasturtiums.
Yeah.
There's
a stunning, the same.
It's like the Japanese print style ukiyo-e, I think that was his maybe as well. I could get have got that wrong. But, yeah, there's just the beautiful place.
Oh, and mugs as well. I love it.
Yeah, got everything. Got it all covered. And I really do like When you look at that painting up there, the one I call that one Amalfi tabletop,
colours.
Next year. Yeah. Sometime next year, yeah. I like to try and put as many patterns, as many colours as I can without it conflicting, but it's still contrasting so that it works. Because it could be an absolute mess putting that many colours in one painting.
Oh, it's beautiful.
You have to make it work.
So can I ask that, let's use that as an example as a process because, yes, there are lots of colours, but they're all very cohesive and very complementary. Mm. And, yes, your eye can travel beautifully and broadly. But I guess how do you start with a drawing?
Definitely.
Do you start using watercolours or, like, journaling? What's your journaling situation mapping out?
Right. I just finished, prior to that painting, I had just finished doing another tabletop painting and so it was like an aerial shot of a tabletop.
Yeah.
I loved it so much and I thought, I'm going to do another one. Mm. At the same time, my girlfriend from Adelaide was holidaying on the Amalfi Coast.
Oh, sending you pictures.
And posting all these lovely pictures and I thought, I'm going to do an Amalfi tabletop. So we've got the Italian view in the background and then I put the crab on the plate and the fish and the tomatoes and the garlic and made it a bit of an Italian tabletop. So that was the idea for it.
Yeah.
And I will have a collection. When I'm doing a tabletop, I'll have a collection of photographs. My daughter actually took the photo of that crab on a plate. She's a photographer.
I was going to ask, do you draw from photos or your own and
good
others?
Idea. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Good question. Okay. So when I have the idea for a painting for this particular one, what I do is I knew the Amalfi was going in the background, so that was easy to get some shots of and then make my composition up. Mm. And then with this, I wanted some cocktail glasses. So I got online and I looked for lots of photos.
Yeah.
And I would never paint someone's total photograph.
Sure.
So I may pick a cocktail glass out of an ad for something. Or in a magazine, I've seen a cocktail glass. Oh, cocktail will go into the painting.
Yeah.
So then I'll grab things from, you know, the crab that she took the photo of and gave me permission to use.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
a little bowl of walnuts or something on another ad or somewhere that I've seen it. And I'll put it all together and then I'll draw a detailed composition.
Mm.
So I drew this up in great detail first. Sometimes if I'm doing a small piece on a sketch pad, then sometimes I may put a graph on the canvas to help me draw it across and get everything in the right spot. Yeah.
And
it sort of looks like, ooh, she's tracing, but I only would ever trace, it's still not tracing, but I would only ever do that from my own designs.
Yeah, for sure.
I've done the original drawing first. Mm. And I have used a projector with some of my work.
Oh, yeah.
When I do these girls up here with all the nature coming from their head, these girls were all a metre by a metre. They were big pieces. So I'll do, as I said, a smaller sketch. And then the best way I did it, in my studio at home, I had a projector set up. So once I've got my sketch done and I would do it in very small scale to work on my projector, then I could project it onto the canvas on the wall. It takes a lot of setting up. I really don't like doing it. But it makes me, it's very fast once I've got it all set up to be able to get the outlines in.
Oh, I fully endorse projectors. Yeah. Yes,
but
absolutely.
Only from my own designs. I would never project from a photograph or trace from a drawing or to me. I mean, I know people do trace and project from a photo or whatever, but it's just not me. I can't do that.
Yeah, well, particularly you are selling it on as your own work as well. Mm. So it is, it is.
It's authentic. Mine.
Yes. Yeah. This is purely from Kerry, everyone.
Yeah, that's it.
That was actually an excellent example to work with. I mean, I even just love the way you've captured the light and the reflection. There's this bit here.
Oh, I love the shadow on the drink.
Just like this light.
Yeah, just tightening the little bit.
It's delicious. It really is delicious. Yeah.
Thanks.
It's so inspiring.
And so I had a question. You talked briefly about creativity and children, and your children obviously have all grown up seeing you, like, invest in yourself, your creativity and making space, giving yourself time and physical space, the kitchen counter or a room. How has that sort of influenced them? You said that your daughter's a photographer.
They're
creative. Do they all have, like, a creative outlet as well?
Extremely creative.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I've got two children. I've got a son and a daughter. So Dion's my son.
Yeah.
Dion's a pro surfer, but he is a very, very creative person. So that sunglass company that you mentioned over there, he was a founder of the company. He's got Airbnbs they are so out there in design. He's got a really good design eye. He is so creative in many ways. We just flew to Sydney a couple of months ago for an exhibition of sculptures that he did. Rainbow Studios had an exhibition of his work. And because he's a pro surfer, the sculptures are all made from broken surfboards. And they're just...
Oh, that's cool.
Amazing. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're amazing. And Jenna went in another direction and became a photographer, and her work is stunning. And she was... It was funny. She left school. Do you want to...
Can
I tell you this story?
Yes, absolutely.
She left school, wanted to be a photographer, so we sent her to a photographic art school.
Yeah.
She went and did the course, and then after the course, I don't think I want to be a photographer. Much to mum and dad pulling their hair out.
Yeah.
But then, I don't know, a few years later, not very many, Jenna had a beautiful little baby, and all of a sudden Jenna started taking photos of her baby and popping them up on social media, and she was inundated. Who took these photographs? And that was the start of her journey.
Yeah.
And she just became this amazing photographer on the Gold Coast. And she was, then she worked for a company and they were flying her overseas to do weddings. And
really?
Yeah, she worked for Illume weddings and they go overseas all the time.
Oh, I love it. And see, that's your creative inspiration.
I know.
Yeah.
And we joke, because my mother was very creative and we got it all from Peggy, because she was creative. So she started it all.
Oh, thanks,
and,
Peggy.
My son has Peggy tattooed on his wrist.
Oh, bless.
Yeah.
That's
two little paintbrushes and Peggy.
Oh, that is just adorable.
On his wrist. Yeah, I was really shocked.
But also, your story began with her saying,
paint a check. She encouraged me all the time.
Yeah, so that creative, maternal, feminine influence cannot be understated.
No.
It's a force.
No. And when you ask me about the children, it's really funny. I was thinking the other day, I would love to hear what the children said about me as an artist and how art affected their life without me being there.
Yes.
You know, as if I wasn't there and they were talking to someone else. How would they talk about, I hope art was always a part of their life. It was always in their home.
Yes.
I was always painting.
Yes.
So how did it affect them in that way? But
I mean, yeah, that's right. I mean, you very much, like, they've absorbed it.
Yeah.
Like, that's their life.
It was a huge part of their life. So, yeah.
And that's right. Children, you know, absorb not by you telling, but by seeing and how you're evolving.
Mm.
And also, I mean, they would have seen just the process. I think it's just the routine and the process. So if it sounds like it's just innate and natural in them to continue that.
Yeah.
And that's really special. That's really, really – and to have the encouragement. My mother encourages myself and my siblings.
That's
and
what
it's
you
just,
need, encouragement.
It's like, just – and be free.
Yes. Do it. Yeah. Create. Just
Do
keep
it.
Creating.
Yeah.
And it's all – I did write down on my notes to tell you too, it's just like Nike's – comment,
just do it.
When I get people standing next to me saying, I've wanted to paint for 20 years and I haven't, just do it.
It's the excuses,
isn't it?
Yeah, you can't, if it's the most important thing to you. And then I feel when people say that to me, I can't find the time to do it, in my head, and I'm not being nasty, but in my head I say to myself, well, then it's not the most important thing to you. You don't need to do it.
Yeah.
I need to do it like I need to breathe.
Yeah.
I need to do it like I need to eat. Yeah. I can't not do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you, like, social media, I think, is a blessing and a curse for a lot of people.
Oh, I love
because
it.
But you love it.
I love it.
But you don't get sucked into it, clearly, because you can still keep working and do your business.
Yeah.
But I think it can also be something that's a procrastination tool or something that potentially
like people like imposter syndrome. Like, look, we hear lots of stories of people saying they're sort of like, and this also, the podcast is also for artists that are stuck, that they are just seeing so many other people, you know, is it even all these other artists they're seeing online, is it real? Is it too manufactured? Is it, you know, it's taking away, you know, from their power and confidence to sort of...
How do you use social media?
How do I use it? It's invaluable for a business and I think for an artist it really is invaluable. And you know, people will say to me, oh, it's amazing that you do social media and blah, blah, blah. It takes me 5 minutes at the end of every afternoon when I either I'm just about to close the shop or when I get home to post either what I have sold for the day, like the print that sold from here today, people from Queensland took this home or whatever, there's a picture of it, or an update on the easel, because every day there's usually an update on the easel as to what I'm working. And that doesn't take me long to do, and people that follow me can keep abreast of what I'm actually painting every day. They see it changing, and people, well, they come in here and tell me they love following me and seeing the updates every day. So, but for me and for any other artist out there, to get the responses back, and I suppose we're all the same, we all want that pat on the back. We all want to be encouraged.
Yeah.
I don't think I
I do.
We do. And that's what makes it's what makes us do what we do, you know.
That's the human part of it.
And I will joke that people come in here every day and say, oh, these are amazing, oh, aren't you clever, oh, aren't you this, and you think, oh, boom, 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 my head's all over. How could I not want to come back for more of that? And I joke that I'll be sitting in here in a rocking chair selling my prints to people saying, yeah, grab that one off the wall, young fella, you know, because I can't get up there and get it down. That's what I want.
I can see that happening. I can definitely see that. It's definitely my role.
I don't know. But social media is amazing, and I don't think you can be without it in this day and age. And I have some young girls to thank for that. I had a job on the Gold Coast for a period of time and I worked with some young girls and they were all on Facebook. And I'm going, they said, do it. I said, I don't know how to do that. And they set me up and they showed me how to use
it. So that's another tip too for someone who doesn't really know the angles and outs. You're okay, Nadia. You know like I tease Nadia sometimes. She's like, I'm such a techie nerd.
But anyway, I have other skills.
You've grown up with it. You're so lucky that you're educated because you've grown up with it. And my generation didn't grow up with it, so we've had to learn it. But
catch up very quickly because it moves very quickly.
So quick. Even young people I work with, they can develop versus, amazing.
I think I haven't developed. I've just stayed with what I know Instagram, I know Facebook. Yeah. There's no TikToking here.
No little moves in the centre of the gallery.
There's the occasional, I did buy a tripod, and there's the occasional, hi, it's me again right in there.
Yeah.
But no, not, I just stick with that and it works for me. So that's good.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely get more people following you as well.
I had another question that I wanted to, and it was about living regionally. So I live in Kettering, which is south of Hobart, where the ferry goes to Bruny Island, and my husband and I have chosen to live there because we love the space and we want our kids to just not have a pressured life and to be able to run around in the garden and have the kind of childhoods that we had. What's it like living in regional Australia?
Mm.
And, you know, does that help inform your creative practice more than living in the city?
I think it works better for me.
Yeah.
Right. And I can honestly tell you, as far as having a little art gallery, which is a small little business in a rural town. I have told so many young artists that have come in here, they may have been going through their art journey or whatever, and I say, when you finished, grab a few of your friends, maybe a potter, a jeweller, or whatever, and go to a little tourist town somewhere rural where there are lots of tourists coming and set up a pop-up shop for 6 months, give it a go and see what happens, because people on holidays want to take something home that they don't get back where they are.
Yeah.
They want to take a piece of their little trip away. And I do, well, you can see I do the Bay of Fires, aerial shots of Bay of Fires. They are so popular.
Really?
It's not just the Bay of Fires they want to take home. It might be a budgie painting or a floral painting or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they bought it when they were in Tasmania and they remember being in St. Yes. Helens when they yes. were here. I would encourage anyone to get out of the city.
Yeah.
You know, I think maybe the city...
Limiting?
Yeah, there's so many artists. And are there as many people that want to buy art? I mean, I know they're all there yeah. in the city. You've no, got no, but everything.
You can
in
have your point of difference, and yeah. you can work with your natural environment. Yeah. And yeah, mm-hmm. you can oh. just. Yeah.
But the rent is quite high in the cities that's, as well, and in the peak areas. So then there has to be yeah. There's
that
those considerations.
Puts limitations on your business, like
and especially if you're emerging as well. Yeah.
When we first left here. Many 25, 26 years ago, and we mm. went up to Queensland, mm. I straight away thought I was going to have another little shop like this.
Yes.
And the yeah. first shop I looked at, and I'm talking 25 years ago,
yeah.
was around $1,200 to get foot traffic out the front. That's 25 years ago. And I thought, what if I don't sell a painting? And my prices weren't that high back then. Mm. I didn't have everything in print then.
Yeah.
It was too yeah. scary. I couldn't.
Yeah.
Gamble on that.
Yeah.
But the rents are lower in a regional area. You can take the risk to get started and see how it's going to work for you.
And there's also the opportunity to, you know, really connect with the community as well.
Mm. Oh, definitely.
And so, like, you obviously are embedded in the St. Helens yeah. community and
yeah.
and more broadly as well. Yeah.
That's it. But yeah. I'd find, I mean, tourists, the locals will come in here yes. to look for a gift, a card, sure. something, or a painting for their wall. I'd say probably 80% of my clients are people on holidays or people on holidays yeah. even from Hobart and Launceston.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a lot from the mainland.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, I don't know, it's just part of being away. We all have that extra
yeah,
bit
well,
of money.
Yeah, well, I mean, you inspired Laura years ago. Like,
inspired me. And, I mean, yes, and this is an incredible location. You've got the Bay of Fires just up the road.
Yes.
And, you know, we've got and the fishing boats over there. Like, there's this industry, there's nature.
It's beautiful.
It's so lovely here.
You're yeah. right. And Bay of Fires, people come here to see Bay of Fires. And you feel like, I feel like I'm a bit of a tourist operator as well. Because I'll say,
oh, you give recommendations
oh my
and stuff.
God. Yeah. I'm like,
no, you've got to go here and try the coffee next door.
Yes, go to Bay of Fires. When you've finished there, then you've got to go out and see St. Columba Waterfalls, you know. And I'll send them on four little things. And then as they're walking out the door, I'll say, and when you finish, come back, I'll send you somewhere else, you know.
Oh, like, how fabulous.
It's just.
That's really lovely.
Yeah. It's a hub.
It's a hub here, too, you know. And I think, I had an idea for you.
Yeah,
maybe you could have like a brochure, your own designed. Tourist brochure that you can keep with all your artwork on there. I don't know. This thing I haven't
thought. It's funny you said that. I have a CV, which is just typed, and everyone that buys a print or an original, they get the CV.
Yeah.
But I'm just dying to get on to a company online that I use, and I want to make like more a coloured brochure that has a picture of me, half a dozen pictures of paintings, and my CV on it. So it's a little bit flashier than a black and white out of the computer.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
I definitely
am going to do that. And I'll tell you, girls, I'm definitely going to set the website up. I don't have a website. Scared. Every time I go to start it, I get scared.
Why are you scared?
Because it's like setting up another business.
Oh, it is. And do you want to do online sales as well, or is it just more? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I do a website, it's going to have half a dozen originals, half a dozen prints,
half
a dozen pack of cards, something like that.
Psychological undertaking.
It's just a big business to take because I've really got to tell you, during our summer months, when I go home, I'm knackered.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can speak to up to 100 to 150 people a day and I don't shut up, you can tell. I talk. So I talk to everybody and I go home unexhausted.
You just need quiet.
I have a nap and then I cook dinner and then after that I put in more orders. I'm constantly ordering through summer because it doesn't stop.
Yes.
And then I do my sales, my books at night.
Yes. You're a one-stop shop, like you're one woman,
I do
one
the
band,
marketing,
one woman
social
band.
Media.
Yeah.
I do the marketing.
Yes.
I do ordering all the prints in stock,
yes.
unpacking the stock, serving the customers, painting in front of people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and you're painting live. Yeah.
It is a full business. It's not just I sit here and paint and wave to people. Like,
There's no
every aspect of the business.
There's no one in the background just running around doing all that for you.
No.
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of artists that would not want to do what I do, and that's fine. We're all so different.
Yes.
But anyone, I'd suggest anyone that's young, anyone that wants to do this and you have got an outgoing personality, you like talking to people, this is a dream. This is the, it's not even dream job. This is the happiest place in the world for me to be.
Mm.
I sit and talk to people all day long. I paint. I get encouragement from everyone that walks in the door.
You're surrounded by your work.
Yeah. What's not to love? And that's another thing for other artists out there, to be able to sit and paint and have all of your work around you that people can see. You know, not just they walk into a gallery and you might have half a dozen pieces with 20 other artists.
That's right.
Not that I'm not bagging galleries.
No, no.
For some people that's the way to go. And I've been in commercial galleries all my life.
Yeah.
But this works for me.
This is more really like so personal as well.
Yeah.
So personal.
So personal. Yeah. And it's a lifestyle. It's my life.
Yes.
It's
And that's the beauty of this space, because you've named it all up. You do all the things. This is all you, all you. And what a gift to go and visit somebody in a space, seeing your creations and meeting you and your energy and your vibe. Like, it's so cool. It's so cool. It's Thanks. So inspiring.
Thanks.
So if you're one of our listeners and you are doing a regional road trip of Tasmania, you must come and
you must have come a conversation. And visit Kerry. Please visit Kerry. Pop in the first shop to pop in.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, absolutely. You've provided so much business advice as well today. And I think for our listeners, and you're a force.
Mm,
you're a force.
I can tell you something else.
Please.
There's one more little story.
Yeah, oh, yes, please.
And I love it. But I can't remember his name, the young man's name. Mm. But a husband and wife came in here one day from Hobart and they were telling me, we talked about art, we talked about what I was doing.
Yeah.
They told me about their son who was just really, really talented, right?
Mm.
Really creative. He couldn't make up his mind whether he wanted to be an art teacher or he wanted to be an artist. His dream was to be an artist, right?
Sure.
But maybe he should cover the bases and be an art teacher. Mm. And I said to them, look, what's the worst that could happen if he took one whole year off when he finishes school to devote to art and trying to get into galleries and do what he can to promote his work? And if at the end of that year it doesn't work, he can go and be a teacher. Because I said, if he becomes an art teacher, and I'm not bagging art teachers, I admire everyone that has anything to do with art, he will not have the energy to be able to come home and then devote to his work. He will not. Mm. He will be exhausted.
Mm.
And so anyway, we had a big conversation about it. They went away. I don't remember his name. I didn't know. I never heard from them. And about 2 years later, the couple came back to see me.
Oh, wow.
And they said, we've been dying to come in and tell you. We went home and told our son the story. They backed him and said, let's do this, let's spend time with it. He was picked up by a big gallery in Hobart.
Mm.
They are nurturing him and sending him on workshops with famous artists. They are doing everything in their power. They showed me pictures of his work.
Oh, that gave me chills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he is doing so well.
Yeah.
And it's like, just that story alone
made me feel like, oh my God,
I was so excited.
Your advice, your energy, them taking it on, them believing in you.
Yeah.
Also, like, them being prepared to back their son. But it is, again, all artists need support and backing. You can't do it on your own.
You need someone in your corner.
You need someone in your corner. Even if it's just a verbal, come on, just do it. Or even if it's financial or, you know, I mean.
Yeah. It's encouragement. We all need encouragement. It doesn't matter what field you're in. You just want to be encouraged. That pat on the back will just send you on your way. You keep going.
Yeah. I do have another question. Mentoring and teaching. Do you mentor and teach other people, or are you mostly?
I did when we first moved back here 8 years ago. Before I opened the shop, I did some classes at home. I don't think it's my thing.
Yeah, sure.
I found it because I haven't been trained to be a teacher. Mm. Quite stressful, you know, prepping for a class, getting it ready. Then I was always worried, maybe I'm not doing the right thing. Maybe I should be showing them more. I don't think it's my thing. And now I'm just too busy. I work 5 days a week, but I get asked nearly every day, do I do art classes? But, and I
Just there's no time in your life.
No, I love that people ask me.
Yes.
But I just can't do everything. And yeah. you can yeah. only do so much
yes.
In your time. You can only do so much. And this takes up so much of my time.
And clearly it is, you know, the most joyous thing you have right now. Like, I mean, you know, it has just – and the way it has grown and evolved over yeah. your life.
It's amazing, absolutely amazing. And when you ask me about living rural – we didn't plan to come back to Tasmania.
Oh.
We left and went to Queensland for 17 years and we came back for a friend's birthday party.
Oh, oh wow.
And there is another little story.
Oh, yeah.
We came back for a friend's birthday party. We had 1 week here. We had the best time. We yeah. got on the plane and went, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Why don't we move back? Different time in our lives. Children mm-hmm. were all growing up. Mm-hmm. We could please ourselves. And we moved back and, like I told you, this was my original shop. But when we got back to Queensland, I looked on realestate.com.
Yes.
There was a property that we used to drive past and I used to say to my husband every time.
That goes on the market, I want it. Yeah.
I said, slow down. It's so pretty in there with the little paddocks around that little old house and blah, blah, blah. There it was for sale. So we bought that property. We've been renovating it for 8 years. It's lovely. And then I got back in my old shop. So it was really
meant to be. Yeah,
that's what it felt like.
So another question is like the synchronicity of life and being able to notice those moments when they occur or at least be open to that.
Yeah, oh God, yeah. And saying I yes. so believe in synchronicity and things do all come together and putting things out there, you know, put things out there and they'll come back tenfold, you know, put out what you want, make it happen. I must admit my husband has always been very encouraging and sometimes when I would have that inner like, oh, I don't know if I want to do the shop again, just do it. Just do it. He's a doer.
What's yeah. his name?
Mario.
Hi, Mario.
Hi, Mario. He's a doer and he cannot sit still. He's exhausting to live with.
Oh.
But he's a doer and he will push me into things. So
yes.
Yeah, yes. Always had his encouragement and the kids' encouragement too. I think they loved.
Yes.
Jenna still says now, and every now and then I get a, you know, very proud of you, Mum.
Oh.
And that makes your heart melt.
That's really yeah. important. That's
nice yeah, to hear.
That's so nice. Mm. Yeah.
Amazing. I think we got it.
We got everything.
You're amazing.
Thank you so much, that's Kerry right. Ages, for being on the Creative Rumble podcast. Thank you for having us. And yes, we hope we'll come by and visit you again
thank
soon
you.
And we'll track you down again.
It was yeah. a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, listeners, we hope you're enjoying the Creative Rumble podcast.
If you're loving the content, why not share the podcast with someone who could use some creative inspiration?
We'd also love to hear from you. Drop us a note via our website or Instagram. Your feedback and stories make this podcast even better.
And if you want to support us further, get online to our website and click on the Buy Us a Coffee link. Your donation keeps the Creative Rumble alive.
You can find all the links in the show notes. Thank you for being a part of our creative community.
Until next time, keep rumbling.